Welcome to Talk On to Walk On with Michelle Walters, the podcast that celebrates the power of conversation. In each episode, my inspirational guests will share their own stories, recalling times when conversations have led to pivotal moments in their life journey. You will hear about how those conversations and moments of positive self-talk have encouraged and empowered them to walk on to where they are now. The aim of Talk On to Walk On is to inspire us to use words with each other and with ourselves that will change lives. Let's talk on to walk on and see where it leads. In January 2019, age 37, Danny de Brabander was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal bowel cancer. Danny is clearly a walking miracle. Since diagnosis, his experience has not only included the usual incredibly tough cycles of chemotherapy, but he's also had many additional complications, including major heart problems, sepsis, and 3 very large surgeries. After 8 months of clear scans, just very recently, Danny has been told that the cancer has returned to his liver. But in his own words, he's been written off on more than a few occasions, and he's determined that he will face this new setback with the courage and positive mindset which he believes has allowed him to walk on to where he is today. I'm delighted that Danny's here to share his story with us. So let's talk on to walk on with Danny and let's see where it leads. Welcome, Danny, to Talk On to Walk On. So I'm going to launch in with my first question, and it's the question that we all often feel uncomfortable asking somebody, particularly with a cancer diagnosis, is how are you feeling? It's a really important question that we tend to avoid. If you could answer me that today, that would be great.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for having me on, first of all. I'm feeling okay in myself at the moment. Obviously, just that news that cancer, I've had a reoccurrence in my liver, which is obviously bad news and, you know, something, another hurdle that I've got to overcome. But in myself, I'm feeling okay. A few little niggles, having a bit of issue with my stomach post-surgery. My stomach blocks every now and again, so that's something to overcome. And also been getting, like, the blood clots, and I've been getting a bit of aches and pains. But I think from what I've been through in terms of the amount of surgeries, chemotherapy, all that, my body's been through a lot. So to expect to be back to normal is probably not something that's realistic, really.
I alluded to the words you've been written off of on a few occasions, and they were your words, and I alluded to that in the introduction. And I'm certainly not in any way diminishing the results, because you don't know what's coming yet. So, you know, that's obviously a bit of a mind head work for you right now. But does it help the fact that you've been here before in terms of, you know, almost what to expect?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I've had liver surgery before, and at the moment I'm having further tests. I've got 2 scans, a PET scan and an MRI scan. I had the PET scan, I've got the MRI next week. But at the moment, the 4 processes for me to have further liver surgery, and I've had probably all in all probably about 70% of my liver removed. In one go, it was nearly 60%. So I kind of know what to expect. It's hard going, the recovery's hard, but at the same time it's manageable. So I think for me, if that's what's going to happen, I just need to make sure that both physically and mentally I'm in the best mind space and so on to take on the challenge of more major surgery, really. So absolutely.
So, you know, you talk about your mindset there, and it's absolutely vital, isn't it? What sort of words are you saying to yourself at the moment? In terms of, or is there any particular person that you're drawing on at the moment? You know, what's helping you? What's your go-to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite a positive, laid-back person in general. I think since my cancer diagnosis, I've been riding a bit, like most recently, I've been riding the crest of a wave. But this is obviously a setback. But yeah, I'm going into it quite positively. You know, and I know I've got options on the table, and that's important. And one of the main things for me is obviously, while you've got options available, you've always got hope, and that's what I draw on. In terms of the person-wise, go back to someone who I met many years ago, Janie Thomas, who sadly passed away from cancer, but she fought terminal cancer for years and years and years. And the way she lived her life was positive. She helped others. She was kind, considerate, and like she just had a zest for life, and it didn't stop her in her tracks. And I like to think that, you know, that's how I live my life this weekend, just gone. I've just been down to London and, you know, as I say, I just try to live and be in the moment. And sometimes I think with cancer, especially when you have a terminal diagnosis, I've heard a few people say that in as horrible as it is and as negative it is, in a lot of ways, it's also something that is one of the best things that happens to you in your life, because it does make you appreciate things. It makes you appreciate the small things in life. You don't worry about stuff as much. And that, again, that's how Janie was, and that's how what I've kind of taken from it, really.
We chatted about Janie when we've been chatting off air, for want of a better phrase. And I took the opportunity actually to look her up just to see if there was anything about her. And she had breast cancer. She had two mastectomies. It did spread to her lungs, but she was incredibly passionate. She was a former biology teacher, and she knew she wanted to do something else with her life in the time that she had. And she was absolutely instrumental in improving patient care in Worcestershire. I'm sure that's probably had a ripple effect across the country. And I saw this quote, and she said, a lot of people don't realise that they have a finite time on this earth. They don't realise they're going to die. I mean, we're all going to die. And I just ad-libbing from my perspective here, you know, she's reminding us of that, isn't she? And yeah. And what she says, she then went on to say, if you do realise you only have a certain amount of time, you need to choose how to spend it wisely. And she has no regrets in how she spent the time. I think she, in terms of throwing herself into the work that she did, you know, I love the fact that she's reminded us that we all need to use our time wisely, because we just don't know when our time is up, do we?
No, absolutely. And it's just, like I say, I think when you go through something in life, you do appreciate it more, and that's it. And Janie's obviously, I think probably Janie's like me, and it's weird with Janie because obviously I knew her 10 years ago. I never was expecting to have cancer really, and follow really in her footsteps, but it was mad because I learned a lot from being around her at the time, and she did make me appreciate life even before I was diagnosed with cancer, just by the way she was. But yeah,
she used to go to the match, is that right? Is that what you met her? Yeah, at the match?
I met her going to Manchester United. I had a season ticket next to her and her husband Ken, and I'm still in touch with Ken to this day. So it just shows you the impact that they had on me and my life. And they're a lot older than me as well. And it's, you know, I'm like that in life. I always think it's good to have friends of all ages, and that's why I got friendly with them, because you learn so much off people. So
that's absolutely true. I absolutely love that, Danny. And I think the other thing is, you don't know how important people there's a reason why people come into your life, isn't there? And you just don't know when that inspiration or that memory of them is going to be just so important. It's something that they've said to you that you just suddenly just now a big part of your life, even though it was so long ago. I'm sure she's looking down and just like, you know, really rallying for you, and probably more so than for Man United at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So that's good. And then what you've done from that, you've obviously, that inspiration has led, I'm sure, somehow into your exploits with your team DDB. Yeah. Tell me how all that came about. I mean, you've raised over 65,000 pounds for your local community?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was a mad one, because I wanted to, when I was diagnosed, I wanted to do a bowel cancer awareness event every year and raise money. So that was always in the offing. And I did one around the time when I had sepsis and so on. That raised about £10,000. Then a few months later, when I got further bad news that the cancer had spread to my stomach lining, and they were saying I'd almost have to live, some friends rallied around me, and they wanted to do a Pretty Muddy event just in support of me. We went out for dinner and one night, and I went to the toilet. When I come back, they had like pink, bright team DDB t-shirts on, and took me a while to realise what they had them on. But they were running that event, and they raised over £2,000 from it. And then all of a sudden I started to like say, well, we've done 10,000 from the football, 2,000 from Pretty Muddy events. And I just thought, you know, I've got something here. It's something I was passionate about. I wanted to help others. And yeah, so I run with it on social media, and before you knew it, it just snowballed. And yeah, at £65,000 as it stands, just over. But not just that, so many amazing things have come of it, amazing memories. I think I put a post on the other day that we've had over 100 separate fundraisers.
Amazing.
We've done over 25 random acts of kindness. We've been supported by some amazing people. And as I said, just been in one community all coming together, and it's inspired people to be kinder and to look after one another more, which is amazing. And that's what I wanted to achieve. So
what a ripple effect that's come about as a result of friendship and connection, communication, conversation, and now this wonderful new community that's been created. It's just absolutely phenomenal. Just breaking it down as well. Again, I've said to you before, you're very modest, Danny, and just breaking it down a little bit. Some of the things that you've done, you know, you're contributing to the Wirral Food Bank. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, so that was off the back of Marcus Rashford, obviously being a Manchester United fan, that was off the back of Marcus Rashford's plea last year to end child food poverty. So at the time, normally around November time, we normally do Movember, or a group of friends do, and they often do runs and jogs. And Christmas time, I do a raffle. I had a guy called Joe Kilty who runs JK Electrical, a local company. He got involved in terms of, he did a Christmas light switch on in his house. Obviously, being an electric company, it was amazing. Something like off, yeah. Off Home Alone or something. It was amazing, yeah. And all in all, we just decided we'd do something for the food banks, and we raised about £6,000 last year.
Wow.
So the intention is this year, we've set a big target again, and we want to help support the food banks. And we've got Joey's doing something, holding an event in Wallasey. And there's a few other things that I want to do. And like I say, Movember will happen again. The Christmas raffle will happen again. And I'm hoping that something more will follow in terms of a music festival around December time. So there's a lot of exciting things happening, and hopefully we can raise a lot of money for the food banks. So
that's brilliant. Yeah. And what an inspiration. Obviously, you've got Marcus Rashford, and then the ripple effect that's come from that. I mean, it's really sad. In fact, it's appalling that you have to do it. That's a political decision, conversation for another day. But what, you know, that he's inspired you, and you're inspired, and then you're now inspiring other people to get involved. I mean, it's just, I try and always say that there's always light that comes out of dark, and it really is light, isn't it, that's happening, because you're not just raising money to get food. This is, you're really impacting on the community and bringing people together, aren't you, between that and then the random acts of kindness. I mean, you only have to look at your Facebook page, and it just brings a smile. I urge everybody to sit hashtag Team DDB. Is that right?
Yeah, you can find us on that. We always hashtag everything, but you can also find us at team.ddb, Delta, okay. Delta Bravo. So, yeah, but yeah, and on Instagram
it's
as well. And
gorgeous. You look at the page and it just lifts you. You know, if you're having a bad day, go on that page, folks, because it's just, honestly, it just brings a smile. And it's the small acts of kindness as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That are just as important as the big stuff.
Absolutely. And that's the thing with community. Everyone's going through stuff. Everyone's dealing with stuff. And I sometimes get people who reach out to me, and they're almost apologetic for what they're dealing with, because obviously it would appear that I've got bigger things going on. That's not the case. Everybody's got issues in life. Everyone goes through stuff. Cancer affects every single person out there, whether it's a family member or not. And other illnesses do. So it's just nice to be together, to come together, to be kind. And like the random acts of kindness, I mean, one of the things I noticed was when I had bad days, I'd have, people do nice things for me, or, you know, I connected with certain people. I connected with Kwame Matter, who actually plays for Manchester United. And he'd have just his thing of, like, he's got millions of followers, but he would literally message me and say, how are you getting on? And it had like a ripple effect again, like you're saying with Rashford. It's that ripple effect of, he's taking the time to make sure I'm okay. So if he can do that, a Premier League footballer, then I can do that in terms of to others. And so we started the random acts of kindness. And like I say, we've had over 25, and it's just people who go through stuff in life or having tough times, and we do something nice for them. We may send them to Alton Towers Wards Park. We may send them some flowers. There's no rhyme or reason in terms of it. We just normally find out from a family member what that person likes, and then try to tailor it. And the whole idea is just to take their mind off the rubbish they're going through and make them smile at the end of the day. And that's what it's all about.
You're certainly doing that. Absolutely. And not only that, we had World Mental Health Day yesterday, And what I wanted to just come around to, in particular, obviously yourself being a bloke, is do you think it's harder for men to open up in terms of what they're going through? I mean, I think it's something like 1 in 8 men have mental health issues. The suicide rate is far higher. I think it's 3 times higher in men than in women, particularly between the age of 40 to 49. They're less likely to access therapy. So in terms of, again, coming back to your community work, I have no doubt that you're having that ripple effect on those who are getting involved, you know?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And then how is it helping you? Do you think it is helping you all? Is it mainly blokes? And obviously there's women involved, but are the men, there's a bit of camaraderie happening amongst you all?
Yeah, I think things are getting better. I said on a recent podcast I was on, talking about men's mental health, and I'm no expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I do get the feeling it's getting better, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I think I noticed, like, in terms of just in, but I know it's not mental health related, but say bowel cancer as an example, I noticed a lot of the people who will go public in terms of sharing their journey, the majority of them are women. And I noticed the engagement even on my posts. When I put posts out, I would probably say 70, maybe 80% of the people who actually like the posts are women. So that kind of shows you in a way that, you know, maybe whilst progress is being made, men are a little bit more reserved and a bit more, you know, and to be honest, it's where I was when I was first diagnosed with bowel cancer. I went 3, 4, 5 months without going, following through on a blood test. And it might have been that male thing of, you know, oh, it's not going to affect me. It's embarrassing and all that. And I think the same goes for mental health. I think there's just a stigma around it. But I just encourage anyone just to, you know, speak to a friend or speak out, because, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved, as they say. And I definitely think that there's legs in that. And I've realised it with what I've been going through. I've been in some dark places, but speaking to others has helped massively. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Danny. And before we get on to, I pick you up on the symptoms and the diagnosis, not really wanting to take you back, because this is about looking forward and positivity. But I do think it's important, and I know it's part of your campaign as well, to about bowel cancer awareness. But before we come on to your diagnosis, tell us about Danny before the diagnosis. Tell us about you.
Yeah.
Because I know you don't want to be defined by this, do you? So tell us about Danny.
No, I mean, I'm born and raised in Claughton on the Wirral, so, and I've lived there near enough my whole life. Did have a little spell where I lived in Las Vegas for a period, with my partner Lacey, but I had a sad end in that. I come back here visiting home, and she sadly got killed in a car crash when I was around 22, 23. So obviously that wasn't great, and a tough time in my life. Took me a long time to get over it, but that aside, as I say, I've just been pretty much living a normal life. I like football, like going out, like eating out, like going to the cinema, you know, traveling, all that sort of stuff. Love like Spain trips with the lads, where going away and all that. Yeah, I mean, I was just living my life normally, really. As I say, big football fan, into music. And then probably a while after Lacey died, I met my current partner, Jane, who I actually work with. Digitel, where I work in telecommunications, and I've done for 16, 17 years and so on. But when I reflect now back on, even though I said before about Janie, you know, made me focus, there is a part of my life where I do think, you know, I just coasted. And I, you know, you could have like 2, 3, 4 years of where you think, what did I actually achieve in those years? Mm. And don't get me wrong, I've had a fairly successful career and I've pretty much done what I want to do. But yeah, I always now look back and think, what could I have achieved? And it's what having a cancer diagnosis, I think it does make you focus and be a bit more ambitious. And I just think I wish I knew what I knew now then, and you know, what could I have achieved even more? Because as I say, a lot of the times, yeah, I think everyone does it, they just drift for periods where you only get one opportunity in life, and I think you need to take the bull by the horns and be the best version. I know it sounds like a cliche, but be the best version of you that you can be. And that's where the kind of impact on others in terms of my diagnosis has helped, because I've had people reach out to me and said, you know, they've started university courses or they've done this. And it's all off the back of realizing that look, you know, I was 37 when I was diagnosed. There's other people around who have been diagnosed at young ages who go through tough times. And I think it's sometimes some hard images and hard talk of where you are. People say it, see it and say, well, I don't know the minute, so I'm going to be the best version of me that I can be. And that's one of the positives that's come out of the, off the back of where I am right now. So,
you know what, Danny, we all do it in life. It's life, isn't it? And it is important that we get those reminders. But, you know, don't beat yourself up about that. Well, look, you are more than making up for it now, let's put it that way. And I'm sure if you did look back, that there is probably so many positive things in there. It's just, you're probably just, it's that's the highlight now, that's where you're thinking, because you've got that focus now on this diagnosis in front of you. But I reckon if we sat down, we could find loads of positives that came before this diagnosis. And I'm sorry to hear about your girlfriend at the time. And you know what? What a bloody tough time. You know, again, don't beat yourself up. You've been through a lot beforehand as well. And again, you've come out strong and you've met your lovely partner, Jane. And now you're opening up and telling people about this particular diagnosis, and look, and you're inspiring them. So honestly, I do believe things are, it's probably not the greatest thing to say in this circumstance, but almost meant to be. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You are where you are, but it's what you do with it and the meaning you give to it now that matters. And that's the most important thing, is now. And, you know, we can't ask any more of you. In terms of opening up, has that been really hard in terms of what happened to you and your story, in terms of you delaying slightly? I mean, we don't know whether that's been a contributing factor, but I know you've been quite open about that.
Yeah, it's just more now about a passion of just wanting someone else not to go through what I have. And I don't know whether the 4 or 5 months would have made any difference. They may not have, but at the same time, they may have. So it's trying to get out there that if anybody, you know, I knew at the time I didn't feel right. I was going out for jogs and I was like struggling on a jog, and I knew my body wasn't right. And the things that were going on, it wasn't like I had a stomachache that went after 2 weeks. It was over months and months. So I knew there was something going on, but maybe I just didn't want to admit it to myself. And you have that thing of, it's never going to happen to me. So yeah, it's just trying to get out there, tell people, you know, you have, you know, a heavy feeling in your stomach, getting cramping, you know, you're tired, lethargic, you've got blood in your stool, which is what led me to actually then follow through on tests. There's all these things that can happen where, you know, you still can be a bit sticky, not right, abnormal. If you've got that for a period of time, you know, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, then I would definitely recommend, if you've got any of those symptoms, go and get checked out. And 99 times out of 100, it's not going to be anything to worry about, but it's just better to be on the safe side. And that goes for any illness that's out there, any cancer-related thing. If you don't feel right, just go and get checked out.
I mean, the stats, I obviously looked up the stats and they're pretty startling. 10,000 in the UK with advanced, which I know that's what's happened with yourself. It's gone into other parts of the body. And then you've got incredible charities out there, haven't you, that are trying to do, or are doing, not trying to do, amazing things. You've got Bowel Cancer Awareness, and they're looking, you know, at Stand Up For Cancer, the Bobby Moore Fund. They're just three that I just came across, and they're all supported by Cancer Research. And the absolute key is that they're working to really increase those survival rates. And I just really encourage everybody to just take a little look. And you know what, direct debit, it even the smallest amount can make the biggest difference. It's something I've done. I'll get on to me and my experience in a moment, but something I've done with Cancer Research for a long, long time. And it's not a massive amount that I give every month, I'll be honest, but my God, does it add up? Because they write to you and they'll tell you, you've donated X and this is what we've done with it.
Yeah.
And it does give you goosebumps and you go, I didn't even miss it. You know, I know times are hard for people, but if you can afford to give something, you know, 1 in 2 of us are going to get this horrible disease. So I just think it needs to just be pushed more at every opportunity. So I do feel quite strongly about that. I'm guessing you feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's where we started when we did Team DDB. The whole idea was raising money for cancer charities, and albeit it's evolved from that more into a community thing. But yeah, some of the treatments that I've had and the developments that I've been in most recent years ultimately have helped with get me to where I am. You know, I had the treatment called hip hack surgery, which is putting chemotherapy in at 40 degrees into my stomach lining and washing it round after they'd removed the cancer from my stomach lining. And that's all like advancements, and that's coming from this funding. And yeah, they don't have a cure, but they do make it a lot more livable and manageable and so on. And it becomes like a chronic disease in some cases.
Yes.
People
instead of a death sentence, and that's huge. My god, I mean, it's the science, isn't it, though? Isn't it? The science is absolutely vital, and we need that money to get the science going to tackle these startling numbers. In terms of just dipping my toe in, you know, as I say, normally with these podcasts, I try and give advice. I can never help myself, but on this one, I'm standing back and just, you know, and the only thing that I can do in terms of making it relatable is, in terms of, we've all had our own experiences of, we all know somebody, don't we? I've known an awful lot of people, just way too many. In terms of myself, I've found lumps. I've had those 2 week waits. I've had a womb biopsy. I've had that mind melting wait where you're waiting for results. Luckily, I've been blessed with clear results. But again, what a life check. I've had friends, really, really good friends of mine, a friend's daughter, who was just very, very young at the time. I've had my ex-father-in-law, and more closer to home, I had my mum. And everybody, what made me think when I was going to come and talk to you was just everybody deals with it so differently, don't they? I looked back and I thought, you know, my mum went very, very, I was with her when she was told, and it was very, very surreal moment. And I had my daughter, she was only 2 months old at the time. And then I had my mum, and I was like, you know, I'm here to protect my daughter. This is all coming out of sync, and now I want to protect my mum. It was, you know, it was a real head worker and just such a shock, because the person who use your rock is suddenly, you want to throw your arms around them and wrap them in cotton wool. But my mum was very private, and she didn't really want to bump into people and tell them about it, because she just didn't really want to. She didn't really want to hear about other people's experiences. I mean, we're going back almost 20 years now. So it was a different time. The social media and all that wasn't what it was now. And the opening up actually wasn't what it was now. But she would do quiet affirmations and do positive self-talk. I know that's what she did. And then another friend of mine, she just completely clammed up, completely, you know, my lovely friend, Kerry, she really struggled mentally. And I know she won't mind me saying that. She's come out the other side. She lives in Australia now. But you know what? She reminded me the day how she had a conversation with my mum at the time. My mum was validated her feelings. She said, "This is shit. It is shit, Kerry. You're right. It is." You know, and she said, "That was so important for me to hear somebody else say that to me, to validate those feelings, you know." And then I had my ex-father-in-law, and I just remember he was really extreme, going out telling everybody, you know, but I think almost to the point where it was a bit over the top. And I was like, but we all just have, you just got to let people do what they need to do in their own way, haven't you?
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that in terms of friends and family and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think with dealing with cancer, everybody deals with it in different ways. I think everybody's cancer is different as well, so it's everyone's journey is different. So I think, you know, for me, it was like being public about it, which does have negatives. For others, it's like I had a friend who, Adam Swanick, I have a friend called Adam Swanick, and he had lymphoma, and he's dealt with it very privately, and he's come out the other side. And it literally, like, we were both parallel in terms of, you know, we're not in the same journey, but obviously dealing with cancer at the same time. So there's that. And I think in terms of actually with your family members and dealing with that, one of the things I learned early on was, I noticed when I was down, like, my family would come with me. But if I'm positive and I bounce into the room and I'm happy, and it's not me putting on an act, it's just where I've got my mindset too. But I noticed that they will go with me. And don't get me wrong, we have down moments. We've had a lot of down moments, but in the main, my positivity has a reflection. It's almost there, looking back in a mirror and what they act, how I act. So I think that's very important. And to anyone who's going through it, I would say, you know, just be mindful, because at the same time, I know you're the person who's dealing with the illness, but there's also a lot of people around you who do feel helpless. My mum had bowel cancer as well, and I felt helpless at that time. So when others, you know, when the people around you feel helpless, I think sometimes you do have, and I know you're dealing with a lot, but you have a responsibility to kind of lift the people around you and say, you know, I'm okay, I'm doing okay, and and that really, that's something that I've just tried to do anyway. So
yeah. And how are your family doing? How's your partner Jane and your mum? And I know you've got a very close family, haven't you?
Yeah, we're all doing okay. I mean, obviously the news this week's been not the best, but yeah, again, we just take every hurdle at a time. We're very close knit, and yeah, obviously, you know, as a mum, she worries and Jane worries, but you know, and you always have the little moments where you think, well, what happens if this happens? But someone who had a breath through when I was first diagnosed, Kelly Smith, always would say that, you know, 96% of what you worry about doesn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what true. We keep telling each other, and we keep saying, you know, while it, like you said before, it is shit. It's shit that I've got to have more surgery. At the same time, I've got to. If that's what I've got to do, then that's what I've got to do, just to get through, really. And that's where your mindset's got to be. It's just got to be. It's like sometimes you've got to take steps back to move forward, really. So.
Yeah, and that's really powerful, isn't it? You've almost got to interrupt your thoughts, haven't you? And just go, stop, just stop.
Because
this isn't real. It's like false evidence appearing real. It's a fear thing, isn't it? That's what I remember reading that once. You know, it's you don't know what, you can't help it though, but you've just got to almost just go, stop, and then go for a walk. Put a movie on, you know, just do anything, whatever it is that works for you. Everything's different for everybody, isn't it? But whatever it is that works for you, to just interrupt those negative thoughts, especially thoughts that you don't know. But it's almost the not knowing, I think, is perhaps worse than the knowing, because you just don't know what you're going to be dealing with, do you? But fair play to you that you're aware of it. Is it Kelly that said that? You know, it's actually, you know, it's hugely, hugely important in all walks of life. And it stops a lot of people from doing stuff, doesn't it? Just coming away from the cancer experience, it stops you from doing stuff, predicting what's going to happen when you actually don't know what's going to happen. You've got to just be self-aware and go, it is, I can only deal with what's in front of me right now.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot of wasted energy spent, isn't it? But yeah. I understand, it's only natural, particularly in this situation.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to it in that, obviously, there's the pro... By living in the moment and just like thinking day to day, that's good in terms of not worrying side. The downside to it is when you have a terminal diagnosis, it's very hard to look too far ahead. So it's hard in terms of making plans, you know, you know, that sort of thing. So there is pros and cons to it. But yeah, in terms of like just your mindset of being positive, I think you're absolutely right. You've just got to kind of switch off, try your hardest to switch off from it and just deal with the present and what's coming, you know, in the coming days, not to get too far ahead of yourself, because, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. So you've just got, instead of filling your mind with negativity, just think, you know, I've got options on the table. 96% of what you worry about doesn't happen. And just try and take that and take that forward is how I've dealt with it anyway. So
I love that, Danny. I love that. And I love that you've got such a lovely family. And you know what? It breaks my heart that you're all going through this, but I bet it's made you even closer, I'm guessing. And again, there's probably many, many positives that are coming out of it. In terms of advice to your younger self, I often ask this question to my podcast guests. It's a pretty cliched question, but I just think it's still a powerful question, because like you talked a little bit about looking back at your earlier life, but if you were 18 again, what would you say to young Danny?
I would kind of try to be how I am. If I knew what I knew now, I would try to be more like I am now in terms of just be kinder to people, just be the best version. And again, I keep saying it's all cliched stuff, but be the best version of you that you can be. Be ambitious, but also live in the moment, appreciate the things around you. Don't sweat the small stuff a lot of the time. Like there's been so many times where, you know, I've got stressed about certain things in my life that realistically now you look back and you think, what was I even worried about? And I always find that a lot of times in life, a lot of stuff that you do worry about actually has a tendency to work out as well. But yeah, they're the kind of key things I would say. And you know, if you've got a dream, I would just follow it, because, like I say, you only got one life and one opportunity at it. And look after your family and friends, look after others, and yeah.
Beautiful advice, that, Danny. Beautiful advice. Tell me now, you haven't mentioned the strap line for Team DDB. What is it? And tell me what it means.
Yeah, so it's actually from a TV show from years ago called Friday Night Lights, and it's something that just resonated with me early on. It's clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. And the idea is my take on it is clear eyes is just, you know, focusing on what's important, focusing on what's ahead of you, what you've got in terms of just that focus of and concentration on where you need to be and where you need to get to. Full heart is just obviously going into everything you do passionately, and obviously being kind and just passionate about what you do. And I think if you give 100% in anything that you do, whether it be in a job or, you know, a hobby or even, you know, fighting cancer, if I go into it and I know I've given 100%, but it doesn't work out for me, then at least I know that I've tried. And I think that's important. And that's where can't lose then comes in, because if you go into everything focused, ambitious, you know, you give it your all, then you're not a loser in anyone's eyes, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what it means to me. But I like it because it's a saying that people can have their own thoughts and feelings on, and it can mean different things for different people. But that's what it means to me anyway. So
I absolutely love that. Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. And is that on the T-shirts or is that on the...
Yeah, it's on some. We got some T-shirts printed and so on, and then we've got like when, you know, someone runs a marathon or half marathon or 10K, or we've got a football team. It's a team done TDB, and that's underneath on the slogan. Yeah, so it's something that we push a lot, really, and it's very popular with people. As I say, a lot of people like it and have their own meaning for it as well. So
brilliant. So we just talked about the slogan, and in terms of giving everything 100%, I just wanted to pick you up on that. And you actually messaged me about coming on this podcast. And I thought, you know what, fair play. I don't think I'd even launched, but I had like my first few guests sort of lined up, and I had come across you on social media. And obviously straight away, I was like, oh my God, yes. And I had a little bit of imposter syndrome, if I'm honest, because I was thinking, how am I going to do this? You know, have this, I love having conversations with people. And straight away, I felt a connection. Obviously, not just because of what you were going through and what you were doing with Team DDB, but my mum had bowel cancer. She'd also had sepsis, and I'd been on the outside looking in. And what I admire about you, Danny, is that you're just getting on with it, aren't you? You're just taking action. And I think that's definitely something that sounds to me like that's come out as a result of this, that you're just like, no hesitation. I want to do this and I'm going to make it happen. And I feel very privileged that you messaged me. What made you do that? What was it that made you contact me?
Just I'm obviously passionate about raising awareness, as I say, yeah. And that's the main driver for it. And it was more the fact of, I think I just saw from your social media and stuff, obviously we connect on certain things, and I just saw it on, and I liked the idea of it and the way it looked and so on, and I just thought it'd be a good platform. I know obviously from a business point of view you're also connected and so on, so it was one of them where I just thought it would be a right platform for me to kind of keep banging the drum of, so to speak. And as I say, I'm doing podcasts pretty much weekly at the moment, so it's and as I say, sometimes I feel like I'm being repetitive in what I'm saying, but at the same time, you know, if one person listens to a podcast that hasn't listened or heard my journey or story before, then and that helps them, and they go to doctors and they catch, say, bowel cancer early, or you know, they just give themselves peace of mind that they're actually okay, then that's all worthwhile to me. So that was really the main driver behind me contacting, really. Yeah,
sure, yeah, well, yeah. Thank you very much for doing that. And I think what you've done for me, certainly for me and hopefully for the listeners, is just remind us about the importance of living in the now and living in the moment and doing good stuff, you know? It sounds so simple, but we often get so caught up in the chaos of our lives that we forget the simple things, the random acts of kindness. remembering the people that need support with the food banks. Remember cancer. You know, if it hasn't happened to you, then it could, you will know somebody who has. Think about taking time out to just set up that direct debit. Think about taking time out to just acknowledge your neighbour and get them a bunch of flowers, or just do those simple things that's going to make somebody's day. I absolutely love how you're not, it sounds awful, but not just raising money for cancer, you're really impacting your community. Yeah. And I don't just mean that in just those one-to-one things that are happening. It's really, I keep saying ripple effect, I'm going to have to get another term, but it is having a ripple effect. You're having a ripple effect on bringing the smiles. You're having a ripple effect on people's mental health because they're getting up and they're running and they're doing stuff. You're having a ripple effect on connection in the community because people are coming together to plan Team DDB events. You're just uplifting those around you. And I just think we all need a bit more Dan, to be a bit more Danny. And I just think the world would be a better place. I really do. And I love the fact that you're grinning from ear to ear right now, because obviously you said something you approve of.
Yeah, like, you do. Well, you're embarrassing me a little bit.
No, not at all. That's the thing, really.
It's one of them.
Very modest.
You know, such a bad thing's happened, you know, to me. And it's been, I've had, you know, negative, been taking places where I never thought I'd have to go in terms of, you know, bad times and so on. But in some ways, it's weird because it's, in a lot of ways, in fact, it's been one of the best things that's happened to me, in that it's allowed, it's given me a platform whereby I've been able to do good and give back and like you said, help others. And that's where it becomes such a positive from a negative. And that in itself is something that I know inspires people, which is great. And like I say, the whole idea of it is, at the end of the day, is so one person doesn't have to go through what I've had to go through. And obviously people around are smiling. And that's the main two things about it, really. So,
well, you've certainly made me smile today, Danny. And you know what? We shouldn't need, like I say, a terminal illness to remind ourselves. And obviously we're gutted that it's happened, that it's happening to you and it's happening to your family and to many thousands of people every day. But if we all just take that moment to pause and remind ourselves that to live with sort of compassion, with love and laughter, of course, meaningful conversation, you are making and will make the biggest difference in people's lives. And I just want to commend you for that. I can't thank you enough, because you've certainly reminded me today, and I'm sure you've reminded the listeners as well. And you know what? All I can say to you, and I know you're a Manc, but walk on, my friend, a Manc fan, not a Manc, but a Man United fan. But you know what? In this situation, you know, I hesitated fully enough about the walk on term, but I think people know that it's not just targeted. When I'm not just after, you know, Liverpool Football Club fans. It's a real powerful statement, isn't it? And it's about community at the end of the day. That's what the song is about. That's one of the reasons I chose it, because it is about walking on in life. With positivity, and you're a wonderful example of that, Danny. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle,
for joining me on the podcast. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Getting back to me.
Thank you. The simple yet powerful art of conversation and communication should never be underestimated. And I would love to hear your thoughts and feedback, either via the contact form on my website, talkontowalkon.com, or on my Instagram at michellewalters_. Also, I'd be thrilled if you could help the Power of Conversation message to reach as many people as possible. To help achieve this dream, and so that you never miss an episode of Talk On to Walk On, please rate, review and subscribe, remembering that the simplest act can have the largest impact.